Section 4, The Future. As you read, look for the following. The types of population changes that are taking place in Missouri. How those changes will affect schools and health care. The environmental challenges facing us now and in the future. Vocabulary terms: bilingual, baby boom, suburb, urban sprawl, fossil fuels, global warming. If you go to Arrow Rock State Park, just across the Cooper County line in southeast Saline County, one of the hiking trails will take you along the top of a bluff. In the winter, when the leaves have fallen and the trees no longer block your view, you can look out across cornfields that stretch eastward to a line of cottonwood trees. That line of trees is along the bank of the Missouri River, about a mile away. If you had stood on that same bluff as Lewis and Clark and their men worked their way up the river, you would have looked down on them because in 1804 the river flowed against the bottom of the bluff. As you studied about Missouri in this book, about its history and its people, its past and its present, you have learned that nothing in our state, not even the course of the Missouri River, remains the same. Maybe someday a spring flood will again coax the muddy Missouri to change its course and return to its old bed running beneath the bluff at Arrow Rock. What other changes will the future bring to Missouri? Page 306, Population Changes. You have read in previous chapters how the face of Missouri's population has changed over the years. The vast majority of the state's population continues to be white, 85% in 2005. But more and more, a picture of typical Missourians includes people of color. There are actually three times as many people in Missouri today who claim American Indian heritage, meaning that at least one of their ancestors was a Native American, than there probably were in Missouri when it became a state in 1820. At the time of statehood, there were about 10,600 black Missourians, almost all of them slaves. They made up about 13% of the population. In 2005, blacks made up 11.5% of the state's population, a total of about 667,000. In 2005, there were an estimated 75,000 people in Missouri who were of Asian heritage. That is three times as many as there were in 1990, making them one of the fastest-growing ethnic groups in the state. But the fastest-growing group are people from Central and South America, sometimes called Hispanics or Latinos. In 1990, the census reported 60,429 Hispanic Missourians. In 2005, the estimate is that there were more than 156,000. Since 1980, the Hispanic population of Missouri has grown by 130%. Page 307. Although Hispanics and Asians still make up a small percentage of the total population, the numbers of Hispanics and Asians now living in Missouri is comparable to the number of Europeans who came to Missouri toward the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th. Back then, this large group of newcomers meant that, in some parts of Missouri, English was not the first language you heard spoken in the streets or printed in the newspapers. It was not unusual to have classmates in school who were still learning English. Today you can go to neighborhoods in many parts of Missouri and hear Spanish or Chinese or Vietnamese spoken in restaurants and stores, see it printed on signs, and have classmates who are learning English as a second language. The growth in the number of Spanish-speaking people in Missouri and in the United States means it is possible that by the time your grandchildren are in school, the country will be bilingual, meaning there are two languages spoken. That is why a growing number of schools, maybe even your own, have added classes in Spanish. Page 308. Also growing is the number of older Missourians. In 1900, one out of every three Missourians was under the age of 18. In 2005, only one out of four were under the age of 18. It might not sound like a big difference, but stop and think about the needs of younger people and how they are different from the needs of adults. After World War II, large numbers of returning soldiers and their wives started families. More children were born in the United States between 1946 and 1964, about 79 million, than in any other 18-year period in the nation's history. So many were born that the period was called the baby boom. Now those babies born at the beginning of the boom are in their 60s, retiring from their jobs, and becoming grandparents. When they were your age, more schools had to be built to make room for them, and more teachers had to be trained to teach them. Now we will need more retirement homes and more doctors, nurses, and aides to care for them. Page 309, Environmental Challenges. The growing number of people, not just in the United States, but also around the world, and the greater use of technology have increased our use of natural resources and are threatening our environment. There are 2.7 million more people living in Missouri today than there were in 1990. And our state is not even among the fastest growing in population. Much of the growth has not been in the cities, but in the suburbs, the communities surrounding the cities. When St. Louis, for example, was at its highest population in the 1950s, with more than 800,000 people, most of those people lived in multifamily housing and were just a short walking distance from the grocery store or a quick streetcar or bus ride to work. Since most married women in those days did not work outside the home, fewer people were actually traveling to work each day. For many reasons, including a desire to own a bigger home, to get away from the crowded and noisy city, and to avoid having to send their children to integrated schools, people started moving to the suburbs just outside the city. When they, too, became crowded or ran out of housing, people moved even farther from the city. New houses were often built on former farmland or in places that before were home to wildlife. Places like Lee's Summit near Kansas City grew from just 2,500 people in 1950 to more than 81,000 people in 2006. This spreading out of the population from the central city to the outer suburbs and surrounding rural areas is sometimes called urban sprawl. Page 310. For many people, this meant moving to places that did not have buses or other mass transit and that were farther from their workplaces and farther from the grocery and other stores. They had to drive longer distances to work and to the store. More women began working outside the home, adding more cars onto the roads and more pollution into the atmosphere. More and larger houses in the suburbs meant a greater demand for electricity, a demand that only grew as more technology in the form of air conditioners, microwaves, computers, televisions, and DVD players made its way into homes. This meant the construction of more power plants, most of which burn coal to generate electricity. More vehicles on the roads and more demand for electricity have meant more carbon emissions from the burning of fossil fuels like coal and gasoline. Some scientists are convinced that these carbon emissions are acting like a blanket in our atmosphere, holding in the warmth generated by the sun's rays striking Earth's surface, much in the same way a greenhouse does. This, they believe, is raising the temperature of our atmosphere and changing our climate, a process called global warming. Scientists are uncertain of all the effects global warming will have in the future, but we can see some of the effects it is having now in the melting of glaciers and snow on high mountain peaks. Also, some plants and animals have disappeared from places that are now too warm for them to survive. Disease-carrying mosquitoes have spread to places that used to be too cold. Did you know? Missouri has one nuclear power plant. The Callaway Unit 1 reactor and generator near the village of Reform in Callaway County began producing electricity in 1984 and today produces about 12% of the state's electricity. Page 311. Scientists fear that a continued melting of the ice in the polar regions will raise the level of the oceans enough to flood coastal areas, including port cities and valuable farmland. The question is whether we can stop global warming or slow it down enough to give humans time to adapt to the changes it will cause. Over time, the atmosphere can cleanse itself of the excess carbon, but only if humans stop adding carbon faster than it can be removed. People are already trying to do this by using less energy, by doing something as simple as using energy-saving light bulbs or carpooling to work or school, using cleaner fuels that don't put carbon into the atmosphere, and finding new technologies for using renewable energy like solar power and wind power. People who today are only students, including you, will grow up and create many of the solutions to this problem. The things you are learning in school now will give you the know-how to meet not only the challenge of global warming, but also the challenges of feeding the world, fighting disease, and providing clean water. In earlier chapters, you have read about how hard life was for the children of the pioneers who settled Missouri, or for the children of the immigrants who came here to help build new lives in Missouri. Many of them grew up determined to make life in Missouri better. Because of their vision and hard work, life today in Missouri is better. How much better it will be in the future just may be up to you. Do you remember? Number 1. What is the fastest growing group of Missourians? Number 2. What are the communities surrounding cities called? Page 312, Spotlight, The Flood of 1993. In most years, the summers in the Midwest are sunny and dry, with only a handful of days seeing any rain. But in the late spring and summer of 1993, it rained and rained and then rained some more. By early June, the soil could hold no more rainwater. It rained in Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, and Missouri on 20 of the 31 days in July, and they weren't just light rains. From June to August, 24 inches fell on northeast and central Kansas and on north and central Missouri. 38 inches fell on east central Iowa. That is more rain in 3 months than most of the region receives in a full year. The rain filled streams and rivers to overflowing, covering fields and flooding small towns. All of these rivers and streams were tributaries of either the Missouri or Mississippi rivers, and their waters were flowing downstream toward Missouri. The Mississippi River had been out of its banks in Missouri since April, but people living along the river were used to that. However, as the rain kept falling and the rivers kept rising, people who thought they were safe soon had to evacuate. In hardest hit St. Charles County, 10,000 people had to leave their homes as water, sometimes as deep as 20 feet, covered a third of the county, 200 square miles. The water covered highways and railroad tracks, cutting rail service between Kansas City and St. Louis. It closed bridges, forcing people to drive dozens of miles or more to find an open bridge. In many places, the only way to travel was by boat. The floodwaters swamped sewage and water treatment plants. More than 100,000 people in the St. Joseph area went days without running water. The flood did not come all at once. The rivers rose over a period of days, giving tens of thousands of volunteers time to fill and stack sandbags on top of levees and around buildings and homes. Volunteers were able to build a wall that kept the flooding Mississippi out of St. Genevieve. Too often, though, the rivers simply rose too high, knocking over the sandbag walls and washing away the levees. When this happened, the rivers quickly rushed in with great force. Near Hardin in Ray County, the raging waters washed caskets out of a cemetery and left them in fields and across highways many miles downstream. The rivers reached record heights. At Kansas City, the Missouri River reached 48 9/10 feet, 16 feet above flood stage and 2 feet higher than the previous record. The Missouri River also set records at Boonville, Jefferson City, Herman, and St. Charles. The Mississippi River at St. Louis reached a record high of 47 feet on July 20th, and then broke that record 12 days later when it reached 47 4/700 feet. The river reached the steps leading up to the Gateway Arch, but the arch, like most of St. Louis, was either high and dry or protected by flood walls. Flood walls also protected Hannibal and Cape Girardeau. Beginning in August, the rivers began to recede. They left behind ruined roads, trash and debris, dead animals and wrecked automobiles, houses and barns washed off their foundations or collapsed into piles of rubble. Those houses that were left standing were filled with stinking mud, and mold covered all of the walls. It was weeks and months before people could return to some places. In some cases, they never returned home. The town of Cedar City, across the Missouri from Jefferson City, ceased to be. Its residents moved away, and the town site was turned into athletic fields. Downriver at Rhineland, the residents decided to move their town to the top of a hill overlooking the Missouri River Valley. Across the Midwest, 400,000 square miles were flooded, including 15 million acres of farmland. The flooding led to the deaths of at least 50 persons and caused $15 billion in damages. It is one of the greatest natural disasters in the nation's history. Page 314, Chapter Review, Summary. This chapter brings you to the present in Missouri. It tells you about the way the auto and aviation industries continue to be important to the state's economy. It tells you about modern communications and transportation. In this chapter, you also learned how technology is changing Missouri and the way we live. You read how it is helping medical researchers, teachers, and businesses, and why it is important to learn the skills necessary to understand and use new technology. Finally, this chapter posed some questions about the future in Missouri, how population changes and problems with our environment are posing challenges right now, and will continue to pose challenges for future generations, including your own. Remember, write a sentence or two explaining how the following groups of terms are related. Number 1, interstate highways, Mass Transit, Amtrak. Number 2. Towboat, Channel, Barge. Number 3. Internet, Email, Website, World Wide Web. Number 4. Baby Boom, Suburb, Urban Sprawl. Number 5. Fossil Fuels, Global Warming. Page 315. Understand. Answer the following questions with complete sentences. Number 1. At the beginning of the 20th century, what was the most common form of transportation for Missourians? Number 2. How has Missouri played a role in the automobile industry? Number 3. Where is the largest rail hub located in Missouri? Number 4. Why don't Missouri towns have as many rail services as they once did? Number 5. What is our nation's most important waterway? Number 6. Why don't we use newspapers as much or as often as we used to? Number 7. Why do newspapers continue to be important? Number 8. What type of research has led to new discoveries in medicine? Number 9. What reasons did people have for moving out of the cities and into the suburbs? Think about it. Number 1. Name several ways you use computers every day in your classroom or at home. Number 2. Do you think the burning of fossil fuels has led to global warming? If so, how? Write about it. Number 1. Write a short paragraph comparing schools of long ago and schools of today. How are these schools alike? How are they different? Number 2. Write a short story about what you think life will be like by the 22nd century. Use the Internet. The flood of 1993 had a profound effect on many Missourians. Visit either website eld.erdc.usace.army.mil/flood/home.html or mo.wates.gov/reports/1993-float/index.htm to view maps and graphs of the flooding. Write down 3 interesting facts you learned about the flooding from looking at the maps. Share your facts with the class. Work together. Number 1. With a partner, create a pictorial timeline showing how radio and television have changed through the years. Number 2. With a partner or in a small group, create a TV commercial advertising Missouri. Your commercial should include information about places to visit, the weather, festivals, and other things to do. Present your ad to the class. Number 3. With a partner or in a small group, create a flowchart that shows the changes in transportation in Missouri.